Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday School, June 13th, 2010.
Thursday, we considered the divided heart. Friday, the complacent heart. Yesterday, the fervent heart. And today, let us consider the untroubled heart. What a gift, what a prize, the untroubled heart. So turn with me to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, where we read those well-loved words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." This is an invitation of our Lord. It is also an exhortation. Do not permit your heart to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. This is especially appropriate in our day, I think. If you turn on the evening news each day, about all you hear for about 20 or 25 minutes is the record of the violence in this city. It is truly amazing, the homicides, the murders, the home invasions, and all of the violence that just goes on day after day after day. A part of that, I'm sure, is because this is a much larger metropolitan area than it used to be. But still, it's a part of the violence of our times. And this is so seemingly in all countries. You can't go to vacation in a Caribbean island without chance of encountering violence. And the violence on our border, the violence from gangs, the violence from, believe it or not, human smugglers. Years ago, we would have thought that that would be something in the past, something in the days of the Dark Ages. But all around us, we see violence. And Jesus told us that this would be characteristic of this age of ours. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, he describes this age, from the time of his departure until he should return. He said, "Many shall come in my name and say, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." That was true in the years following Jesus' ascension, but it is true today too. There are always people vying for followers in the name of religion. "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass." They must come to pass because they are God's judgment on violent people. "For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquake in many places. These are the beginning of sorrows." And famines. Do you ever think we will ever feed the Ethiopians? Do you ever think that the people of India will always have enough food? Famines and wars, like James said, arise from the evil within us. They are man-caused, not God-caused. The famine in Ethiopia and Somalia is caused by the lack of rains. One reason for the cause of lack of rains is the destruction of the rainforest by whatever reason. The rainforest itself provides a climate. We This is a time of violence, and yet Paul told us that these times would come. He said, in the last days, evil times shall come. Brother Clarenceau said that in the Greek, the emphasis is, various times shall be caused or shall be set up. That is, it is man-caused. So we live in troubled times. And he said that evil men and seducers shall grow worse and worse. And a lot of times people want to be seduced. The natural man does. So we should not be too surprised. We people here in America are spoiled. We have, due to a godly heritage, been spared much of this violence and much of this evil for much of our history. But it seems like that time is coming to an end. So this is descriptive of this time, the time of the Gentiles. There was an article published in Harper's Magazine, an editorial that reads, "It is a gloomy moment in history. Not in the lifetime of any man who reads this his newspaper has there been so much grave and deep apprehension. Never has the future seemed so dark and incalculable. In France, the political cauldron seethes and bubbles with uncertainty. In England, the British Empire, being sorely tried, is exhausted in a social and economic struggle. The United States is beset with racial and industrial and commercial chaos, drifting we know not where. Russia hangs like a storm cloud on the horizon of the world, dark, menacing, and foreboding. It is a solemn moment, and no man can feel indifference, which happily no man pretends to feel. In this issue of events. Of our own troubles, no man can see the end." Does that sound like contemporary conditions? If I just said Britain instead of the British Empire, you might have thought it was contemporary. But this editorial was published in Harper's Magazine on October 10th, 1847. So we live in violent times and increasingly violent times, but this is the description of these times of the Gentiles. And it was for such times that Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Years ago in New Mexico, One of the brothers had a job that took him all around the city and into the country. He drove a pickup to carry his equipment with him, and he always left his radio on. He never turned off the car radio. The minute he turned the key, the radio came on, and he was very depressed. He was in a state of clinical depression. He was always in the depths until one day, for some unknown reason, when he turned the key off, he turned the radio off. And when he got in the next day, he didn't turn the radio on. He was busy. He drove all around, and suddenly he realized, I'm not depressed anymore. I think that's a good lesson. I think we should be aware of what's going on in the world. We should be aware of where we are in God's timeline, but not be taken up with the troubles of this world. Not be overwhelmed by what's going on around us. Because, you see, we have read the last chapter of the book, and we do know the outcome. So let not your heart be troubled. But the troubles of the world are not all the troubles that bother us. We have many troubles besides that. Health troubles. Who does not have health problems? Or what family does not have health problems? Brother Doug told me last evening that one of our brothers, an older brother, fell and broke his hip, and he's in the hospital now. Don't you know of health troubles in your assembly in Missouri? We certainly have them here. Let not your heart be troubled. And financial problems. Financial meltdown. How many of you have an IRA that's worth less today than it was just a while ago? Let not your heart be troubled. These things do come, and they are problems that we have to deal with. But we're not the first ones. I grew up in the Great Depression. I remember a lot of it. I remember when times were hard. And I used to hear on the radio, and when I was old enough to enjoy the newspaper, to read in the newspaper, about engineers walking the streets, unable to find a job, even washing dishes. When I was just starting out in earning my living, anyone who wanted to work could have a job. That's not true today. My son, who is an engineer and has lots of fellow engineers that he keeps track with, tells me that there are literally hundreds of engineers in this city today who cannot even get a job at McDonald's. Let not your hearts be troubled. This was foretold. And then family problems. If your immediate family does not have domestic problems, how blessed are you? But what greater family do we know free from domestic problems? And all of these are not the fault of the devil, and they're not the fault of God. So it's futile to ask, why would God let this happen? Because they arise from within us. They're man-caused. But we who love the Lord, we who are committed to Him, let us look to our own life and follow closely behind Him in the path of life that He has assigned to us. And let us let not our hearts be troubled. Don't permit your heart to be troubled. Jesus said this not once, but twice. He said it once in the first verse of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, and He said it again in the 27th verse. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The last words of a loved one are always cherished, are they not? This is among the last words of our Lord. From the 14th chapter of John through the 17th chapter of John, we have John's record of Jesus' last conversation with His disciples. He was facing Gethsemane within, if not hours, just minutes. And these are His last words to His disciples. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Within just a few hours, they were greatly troubled. They were afraid. They were helpless. They could not understand how He, who could walk through a murderous crowd, and they didn't even know where He went, willingly allowed Himself to be arrested and led away. They were troubled. They were afraid. Their hopes were dashed. Their world crumbled. Surely they remembered His words, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But we know those words too, don't we? We didn't hear them from His lips, but we read them here. We know that He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. And yet, do we always remember that in the midst of turmoil? Do we always remember that when everything goes wrong? When with anxiety we face the inevitable problems of life, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But then we have the first part of that verse too. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. We always cherish the last memory of a loved one, don't we? When brother, his name slipped my mind. Who is it? Who is the geologist here, brother?
Brother Ogg.
Brother Ogg, yes. Thank you. Just 2 or 3 weeks before Brother Ogg died, he came to me and he says, I want you to have this. We had talked a lot about his profession and about our state. And he gave me a piece of rhodochrosite, highly polished, which is, by the way, the official rock of Colorado. And he said, I want you to have this to remember me by. Jesus said this, that we should remember him by this, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. As you read the story of Jesus' trials and crucifixion, he was not a troubled man. When he stood in the midst of that murderous Sanhedrin, he was not a troubled man when he faced the imperial tribune of Rome. He was not a troubled man when they led him away to the cross. You say, of course, he was divine. Certainly he was. But he didn't suffer on the cross as God. He suffered on the cross in our place as we, as a man. And he was untroubled. He gave us an example. So the peace that he had, his own peace, he left with us as his legacy. This is his legacy for us. Such a peace in the midst of turmoil. Such a peace in the midst of all of the problems. And I don't think we've seen the crest of our problems in our country today. So he gave us the way to possess that peace. He said, believe in God. Believe also in me. Both of those statements are in the imperative mode in the Greek. Believe in God. In the Greek and very much in English, that word also means to trust. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus. Trust in his plan for this violent age in which we live. Trust him that it is soon coming to an end and that we will behold him in the beauty of his glory. So trust in him. Brother Copley once wrote an article concerning his time, and he said, but I will just sit down in God's rocking chair of grace and enjoy my fellowship with him. Just sit down in God's rocking chair. That's a good thought. And just trust him. and relax and unwind. So his legacy for us is peace. Peace of heart. Peace among ourselves. Peace with him. For in the first verse of the preceding chapter, chapter 13, John records, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end." Even when the disciples fled, he loved them. He knew they would. He told them they would. "You all shall forsake me." Even when Peter was taking an oath upon him that he never knew the Lord, Jesus loved him, because John records that Jesus turned and looked upon him, and Peter realized what had happened, and he went out and wept bitterly. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And he still does today. He loves his people unto the very end of this age. He loves his people personally unto the very end of life. His legacy to us was a fellowship of love. And he would have us to remember, among his final words, "I will come again." There will be an end to this violent age. There will be an end to the troubles of this world. And we cry, "Come, Lord Jesus." So let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in him. So we have considered the divided heart, the complacent heart, the fervent heart, and the untroubled heart. Which is yours? Which do you want it to be? Believe in God. Believe also in him.